The Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, beginning at verses 1 to 7, and then again from 17 to 29. Please make yourselves comfortable. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth, the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Now let me have your vineyard to use as a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or, if you prefer, I will pay for you whatever it is worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors." He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" He answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I will get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." Reading from verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in possession of Naboth's vineyard, where he has taken possession of it. Say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property?' Then say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. In the place where the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours.' Ahab said to Elijah, 'So you have found me, my enemy.' 'I have found you,' he answered, 'because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord.' He says, 'I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will wipe out your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have aroused my anger and have caused Israel to sin.' And also concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, 'Dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and birds will feed on those who die in the country. There was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols, like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel.'" When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, "Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The second much shorter reading comes from the New Testament, from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, beginning from verse 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the gospel of Christ.
True story. Because this man, I know him very well. He used to walk. And as he was working, what happened, he loved his job and gave everything to this job. It's the only thing that he knew he could do well. So one of his bosses noticed this. Some of the leaders in where he was working, and they said they would, they chose him to go and become better. So they wanted him to go abroad and extend his learning and also become better in what he's doing. So he started to plan on this, but before he even planned about it, his boss, his immediate boss, noticed this and coveted what he had gotten and wanted it for himself. So he plotted with other workers that they do they plan something, a conspiracy, that would kick him out of his job. And they planned, and he was dismissed from work. But he was dismissed unfairly, because whatever they plotted, they couldn't write it down. So what the boss did is that he made his file disappear. So it looked like he never worked in this place. He never even actually existed, because it never showed that he was actually working. His boss dismissed him. He lost his job. He was the sole breadwinner of the family. And that's what the family was almost, that was like the end of it for his family and him. You have seen, you have heard stories like this about powerful people. Where I come from, power has been abused. We have seen people get away with murder, not of one, not of two, but even 50 people. but nobody speaks about it. People who are in power in a corrupt way, without a conscience of life itself, without honor even of human beings, and they even make take away life and land of the poor. The fact is that in life, bad things happen, and they will be happening, both for the good and for the bad. Often it seems that the least deserving get all the good breaks. The psalmist writes, "Why do the wicked prosper?" Poor man cries in the streets. We sit with them in our offices. We talk to them. They smile. But in their smile, what are they saying? Help. They're in bondage. Why do bad things happen? There's no easy answer to this. But we know we're in a fallen state. We're in a fallen world. Sin itself has corrupted the world. Satan is at work, and sin has separated mankind from God and from God's perfection. The earth is subject to frustration. It is likely that we ourselves have even experienced things which are unjust, or we have experienced injustice ourselves, one way or another. May it be that you have a boss who bullies you, or unfairly dismisses you, accused of something you did not do, racial or gender prejudice and inequality. It could be that you have not experienced love in your family due to violence or breakup. Someone broke a deal you have signed on, or broke a promise they made to you, perhaps stole your money, damaged your reputation, and you are powerless to change it. You might be in a relationship that you are being treated badly, being bullied in school for young people. Injustice is just heavy for you, heavy on you. And then we ask ourselves, where is justice? When I was going to high school, one day, the first time I was going to high school, my dad took me to this boarding school where he studied, and I had not experienced being bullied. So when we went to high school, the head, our deputy principal was the first one to say, "Welcome to this school. And remember, survival is for the fittest." That is the head of my school telling me, "Welcome, I'm a new person. And I'm seeing all these tall people, these giants who are in this school, and you're telling me I need to survive with them, and you're telling me that the fittest will survive." I was a chubby young boy. The chubbiness turned to muscle immediately. Because the first thing that happened, my box was taken, and this happens in Kenya. Your box is taken, your things are taken, and you start from zero. You don't have anything. You have to fight for yourself. And this is in school. This is injustice. The question is, does God's justice work in an unjust world? Does it really? Yes, it does. But how does God work his justice in this world? We are in a series of looking at the person and character of Elijah, a man passionate for God, and asking ourselves, what does it mean to be on fire for God? Last week, we heard from Emily. She was talking about the calling of Elijah and how we are to learn from our sermon. We learned how we can call people. We are called upon to call people and to raise up the next generation for this church and even our land. Today we look at an appealing story of what happened to Naboth and what role Elijah had to play in bringing about justice. Here's a sad story. Two generations are wiped away. One was on fault, the other did nothing. Naboth is asked by Ahab, I want to have your land. Can you give me your land? And I'll exchange it for anything. But here's something that Ahab does, which is also very, very diminishing. I want to change it to a vegetable garden. This is a vine. You can imagine all the fruits, the grapes and everything, yeah? And you're telling me you're going to cut them down and put cabbage, yeah? And carrots in it. He does change. It changes the whole story. He also, Naboth also says, Ahab tells Naboth, tell me the price that you want for this land, and I'll give it to you. The refusal seems uncourteous at this particular moment. But by the law of Moses, Canaan was considered as being, in a peculiar sense, God's land. The Israelites were its tenants. And one of the conditions of their tenure was that they should not alienate that which fell to their lot. Except in cases of extreme necessity. And then until the year of Jubilee. Naboth anticipated that if it was once passed to the royal family, he would never get it back. So taking his stand then on religious grounds, he might as well say, as he said when we were in the reading, the Lord forbid me to do it, that I am to give you this land. His refusal was in part, therefore, a religious act. But there was no doubt something more. The thing is that he was brought up there. He saw the work that the parents had given, had done. The sitting under the sun, the shade, the times that he had to play, the crushing of the fruits into wine, the experience that he had gone through. He said no. Where did it lead him to? He was killed. This was unjust and wrong. One fault and the other without fault. God has called Elijah into partnership with him. We are called into the same kind of partnership to do his bidding upon the earth. Part of our calling is to stand up for justice. When we are sitting with people, they are crying out, what is justice? Injustice itself is what the devil came to do on earth. When he separated man from God, that was unjust. Justice is when we also pull them into the kingdom. What role do we as Christians play when we see injustice? We must understand that we are agents of kingdom justice. That you and me, we are agents of kingdom justice. Elijah is doing his part. It had been 5 to 6 years of silence. God was not talking to Elijah. There was silence. It is possible that we are left unused for our own deeper teaching in the ways of God. Hours or even years of silence are full of golden opportunities for the servants of God. Our simple duty is to keep clean, get filled and ready, standing firm to meet the Master's use. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Remember that the cross was the ultimate act of injustice. But Jesus turned it into the ultimate act of justice. He took our punishment, our sin, that which was done, which was supposed to be unjust, he took it upon himself. So we could be free to declare God's justice. He is supreme over death, and he is supreme over injustice. For true kingdom justice to occur, unlike Ahab, an incorruptible king must sit upon that throne, and that is Jesus. God is the answer to injustice. John 10:10 says, "For the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you in abundance." Jesus came to this world to give life, because injustice is part of it. When we were in sin, somebody saw that cry of help. He was an agent of kingdom justice and reached out to you. Now you are, I am a kingdom agent. You need to call out. We are called to be a voice for the voiceless. Go down and meet Ahab. God sends Elijah. Go and tell him that I have seen what he has done. God called Elijah to go and tell Ahab about what he had done. But this was after Naboth was already dead. God will not be silent. God is not silent. And it's never okay. Ahab had to go, was not going to get away with abuse of office and of power. A God of justice who gave him that throne had seen him. And that same God would be able to take it away from him. But God was actually not in a place of saying, "I'm taking it away from you." He was pointing out to the sin. If you look at it, the Lord called Elijah to go and talk to Ahab and not point at Ahab, but tell him, "The Lord has seen the sin that you have committed." It was a call, actually, to repentance, not a call to be punished. It was a call to repentance. We are being called to be a voice, to encourage, to defend, to point out sin. That is what Elijah was doing. To set free, to bring peace and freedom to any situation. But we have a role to play. For God to call you, you must be willing to be different. And it does come at a cost. You may become unpopular, because Elijah was unpopular. "You have found me, my enemy," Ahab told Elijah. "You have found me, my enemy." When I was in high school, after being bullied at one time, this is a bad story. This guy took my bread. And after taking my bread, I decided that it was time that people understand who I am. So I worked on him. Seriously, it was the fourth year, it was the first year. And ever since, whenever we met, he used to call me my enemy. I still remember how hard you fell on me. I was not his enemy. I actually helped him change. But it might have been through physical anointing. Just a little bit. When God's justice is truth, then you have nothing to fear. Elijah did not consider that the woman who had threatened his life might take it away from him if he says this. She had already spilled blood. What would stop her from finishing him? We have a role to play. We need to be obedient to God's call. The third and the final point. What role does a Christian have to play when we see injustice? We are to be intentional with God, and He will be intentional with us. The parable of the persistent widow. She persisted. She went to this judge continuously. She demanded justice from a judge who never cared about any other person, didn't know about God. She persisted. She pushed. She knew at the very end, I have to receive justice. There's a word that we use when we talk about prayer, and it is push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Injustice can only be counteracted with prayer. And not just one prayer, but a prayer that is at push level. Praying until something happens. When you push the wall, you pray that it moves. And by faith, that wall will move. Elijah could have been prompted to take a sword and just slash down Ahab, but he didn't. That was not his role. His role was to go and call out and be able to tell Ahab, you have done wrong. His role was to call out and bring Ahab back to God's redemption. Remember that redemption does not come at a cost. Remember that when redemption comes at a cost. Sorry. Redemption comes at a cost. And sometimes it comes via death. We have seen it come in death in some of our countries. But it doesn't need to come via death. The oppressor and the oppressed can both change and come to God. And that is our duty. When we pray, things move at God's speed. Let me finish with Dad's story. He was consistent for 16 years, writing letters to the CES, the story of this man. He was writing letters consistently till one day this CS is a cabinet secretary said that this man, there must be a truth. All these letters, he wrote in total 162 letters. And only one was answered. And when they answered it, they noticed that he was dismissed unjustly. But the story is not more about him getting back his job. That in the 16 years, the injustice of what sin had taken him to, he became born again in that 16-year period. You see, God might take you through something which is unjust so that you can be able to cry back to Him and run back to Him. So don't see injustice as also something that is wrong. Run to Jesus because He is right all the time. As we go into our place of influence, know that you are agents of God's kingdom. You may be called to partner with God and to bring about justice. Standing up for the voiceless, speaking truth to others. And then as we do that, God is able to release and to bring transformative justice that heals and releases the oppressed and the oppressor as well. Our call is to stand up, stand firm, and be counted. I'd like us to stand. And I know that we know somebody who might be going through such period. And all I want us to do is to sing a song as we also pray and ask God to make us agents of change.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
Sing my hope again.
My hope is built
on nothing less
than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
And Heavenly Father, You alone are our hope. You are our hope, Heavenly Father. As injustice rules this earth, as sin takes away man from You, as the devil attacks Your people, we stand up to be counted as agents, Lord, of Your kingdom, to bring about justice, to call upon justice, Lord, when we see injustice happening, when we see injustice happening. Heavenly Father, when we see people being taken away from Your kingdom, we do not rejoice, we cry. Teach us to be a voice for they who are crying, help. And bring justice, Lord. Because justice hurts the devil, and it hurts him to the core. Teach us, Heavenly Father, at the very end, to know that it is Your will be done and not ours. And that we will not avenge, but instead we will pray, we will call for redemption in the hearts of men. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.